Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Laura Lederer, the former senior advisor on trafficking in persons for the U.S. State Department, she says this: pornography is a brilliant social marketing campaign for commercial sexual exploitation. A key ingredient to the success of commercial sex is the belief that people, especially women, are sexual commodities. And internet pornography is the ideal vehicle to teach and to train this belief. Well, yesterday we discussed how porn was linked to sex trafficking. And in today's podcast, we continue our conversation with Susan Stacy. She's the founder and the director of the Fountain of Hope Ministries here in Phoenix, Arizona. The Fountain is a refuge. It's a place of hope for women, for these victims who are caught in the sex trafficking industry. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, how pornography fuels sex trafficking. Number two, how victims of prostitution lose everything, including their identity. And number three, how pornography and sex trafficking are such a disconnect for church leaders. Today's show is titled, The Real Victims of Pornography. Once we realize that there is a direct connection between the pornography,
yes,
and because the pornography fuels this stuff, can you say more on that? How does... In your experience, how does the pornography fuel men to go out and actually go after a prostitute or hire a prostitute?
Right. Well, first, I don't even call them that because I know that they're really victims at that point, trapped. Mm. But I hear what you're saying. Mm. Yes, because of the fantasy life. And most men that have bought sex on the street or in a back room or apartment or wherever they bought sex like that, It's never the way it seems. It's just to fulfill the fantasy of what they've watched. And that's also where some of the violence comes in, because the darker you get into pornography, I mean, it's a lot different than it was when you're buying a magazine years ago.
Yeah.
It's darker and darker and darker and violent. And when you read some of the testimonies of these girls that have been porn stars, some of the things they've gone through, I mean, it's just horrifying. Some may have come in because for the glamour or something, but once they've been in a while, I mean, I'm talking about the pornography industry, they cross over into this dark world of violence that is very hard to get out of. Some of our girls have been on the street since they've been teenagers. They haven't even finished school. A lot of them have come out of the group home system and have not had the supervision where you've got like somebody watching your back and doing a red alert when, mm-hmm. when you're gone. And some of the predators know that. They will target group homes and girls.
Wow. You mentioned the internet and some different sites there, and Facebook even. With everybody having access 24/7 to the internet, you know, through our phones,
yep.
how big a problem is that when it comes to contacting, you know?
Right.
That's how everything is done now, I guess, is my question. Is that right?
Well, ours isn't. They just will come into the area that they know there's girls and look for a girl.
Okay.
And pull in and make a deal with her in the car. On the way here, I saw several things happening exactly like that. So it's one-on-one. But about 70% at least is done on the internet. And, you know, there was the city of Phoenix and some other organizations came together and monitored a particular paper that does the advertising, and they in 3 days had 78,000 calls from the Phoenix area.
Mm.
It wasn't just from Phoenix.
Wow.
You're talking about Gilbert and outlying areas. This is the problem. in Sedona and everywhere. Mm. You know, you drive in and you think this is, there's not going to be sex trafficking here. Yes, there is. Mm. You know, and so that's the thing. And these girls, it's like they have no even jurisdiction over their own body. They are being bought for that time. And
it really puts things in perspective when you start talking about that we are made in the very image of Almighty God. And I remember a couple of years ago, you said that, you know, the word, as we were just kind of talking about scripture, that this idea of father and daddy and those terms are so, they're not foreign, but those terms have been reused and abused on these women. So we can't even, all the church things that we want to tell these women, if we had the opportunity, we can't say that God is our father or certainly our daddy. Can you speak to that?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, when the pimp gets a hold of them, that's what he wants to call them. And they give them a street name on top of it. So I was just looking at our list from our last outreach, and there's all sorts of names they get named. And then they are wanting to actually change their identity and will not call them by their real name.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So the first thing that they do is this man changes her identity by giving her a new name.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Wow. And then brands them in all sorts of different parts of their body.
Brand tattoos?
Well, I call it a branding because he puts his seal on it. He puts what he wants to put. A tattoo, you could go and say you wanted to have a tattoo, you know, mm-hmm. put on your body. That's your choice. A branding is what you do to your possession.
Wow.
And so I've seen some very destructive brandings. Every time they look at their body, it's right there, reminding them, like dollar signs right across the top of their breasts, reminding them, this is who you are. You're dollars to me. And they're a human being, as you said, made in the image and likeness of God.
That's such a disconnect. You know what I mean? It's that's such a disconnect for me, and you know, with my 20 years of being an addict and seeing all the pornography that I've seen. But it's such a disconnect, I think, for church leaders as well, that how do you start this conversation for church leaders that you're out on the streets and you're seeing the worst of the worst, and we want to spread the gospel and we want to do all these wonderful things that the church does, but there's a whole side of life here that is not being ministered to. And we've got lots of church leaders listening. How do you start this discussion? What would you say to to these men and women leading churches, ministries?
Well, you've probably got quite a few young women that have been sexually abused, either through a family member. They've been sexually abused. It's not just stranger danger anymore. That is still a part of abuse, that have been sitting there abused. And to be quite honest, these young women are very vulnerable. They are really a target for a predator, somebody to befriend them at school, in the mall, or just walking down the street. And when you've got like a master at deception tracking you, and they're older and they're offering you something that you have a gap in, it's very hard not to be drawn into that. So they need education, training, they need to know what they're worth. It needs to come out of the dark place, like, and come into the light. And so what I mean is giving people an opportunity to say, this has happened to me, and how can we serve you?
Mm. Yeah, because the whole sexual abuse topic is not one to where we like to certainly preach on, right? Mm-hmm. Or even have small groups or recovery groups or, you know, dealing with that type of conversation. But like you said, there's, if you've got a church of, you know, under 100 people, there's a good percentage of those women specifically who have been abused. And there's got to be a disconnect there, Susan. If we don't address that as leaders, how can these women see God as their father who wants to take care of them when they've been through such horrific stuff?
Right. Well, that was my journey, you know, from being a little girl. And so when I came into the kingdom at 30 and heard that God was my father, I didn't trust him at all.
Mm.
I was saved, but I did not trust God. And it took a lot of, finally one day I was about, and I was doing this alone, you know, wasn't in a group or anything, but I was about 4 years into studying the word quite diligently because I had to please him, because that's what it took, right?
Mm.
I had to please God, so wow. I had to be a good student, to do the right things, but I had a conversion. But about 4 years into my relationship with God, I was praying earnestly one morning, you know, and the Lord said to me, he said, you know, I just want to be with you. And it was the very beginning of learning to build something of a relationship. Although I knew he died for me, I knew the theory, and something had changed. But and some of my behaviors had really changed. I mean, God did a lot, even though I wasn't in strong relationship with him. I mean, it's ever growing.
Sure.
It's not as if one day you wake up he was like, I just want to be with you. I just want to talk to you. But it was the hardest thing. And sometimes I still find that I have to be reminded that God loves me. It's not, and he's, you know, he's worked over the years on all that performance and good authority, teaching me what a good authority is. And that's what's so difficult when an older man goes and buys one of these girls. They are, in a way, representing an older man, a father figure, and it's a lot deeper than the sexual act, obviously, because they're representing them. They're representing him directly or indirectly.
Right. And that's one of the reasons that you don't have men inside the fountain when you're ministering to them, because just the very presence of a man, it puts up walls and defenses.
Right.
And that breaks my heart, because when I first heard that, I went, well, do you not want like someone who can show them what a godly man looks like and a pastor who can love them? And you said no, just because of the volume and the amount of the abuse. And it just really, it just saddened me to think like, wow. And that makes sense, that if you're completely abused for 15, 20 years growing up, you're going to take that, those experiences of a man and apply them to God the Father. Is that right?
Yeah. And basically, all the predators are male. So that has to be ministered to first. And it's not anything you can tell somebody one time.
Well, I don't know about you, but I find it heartbreaking and gut-wrenching that these women who are victims of prostitution don't know what a decent man looks like, let alone a father figure. Did you know that the word father itself is used 460 times just in the New Testament? So that's a very, very important word. For example, the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 4:4-7, "But when the time is right, God sent his son, born of a woman and subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to that law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we're his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba, Father. Maybe this is the perfect time as a reminder to thank God as our Heavenly Father, that through His Son, Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to Him through the cross, that we're forgiven and we're free. And if that wasn't good enough, we are now adopted sons and daughters of the King of Kings, and we get to call Him Daddy. So I would encourage you to thank God right now and also pray for those caught in the sex trafficking industry. Pray for these women that they will indeed hear the gospel and meet this man, Jesus, this man that they've been looking for all of their life, Jesus Christ, a man who would never, ever abuse them because He is a good, good Father. Tomorrow, we continue our conversation with Susan Stacy, and we learn why it's going to take more than a three-point sermon to address this issue of sex trafficking in our churches. Lastly, I'm excited to share with you that my new book is available for pre-order. It's called The Sex Spiral. The audio workbook series is also available on the website at dustindaniels.org. Click on store. I would encourage you to check that out. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor and email me your questions once again at the website at dustindaniels.org. Jesus said this. He said, "The pure in heart will see God." Walk worthy today, my friend. I pray that's some encouragement for you. Walk worthy as you cling to Jesus today. Hang on to Him with everything that you have. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.